quickly get into the word, because I mean, there's no time to waste when it comes to the word of God. Let's start from Luke chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 26 to verse 38, and I'm reading the New King James Version. And of course, it's a scripture that you all know, but I'm hoping that I can bring some new light to it today. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' Verse 35 says, 'And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.'" And verse 38, which is where I'm really going, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the Bible says that the angel departed from her." I know that even in children's church, you've heard this story over and over and over again. But this is actually the picture of our lives. How God always sends us on a journey of destiny. And this girl was a young girl. So there's no excuse for you, whether you're young, whether you're old. God always gives divine encounters to his daughters. So whether it was Mary or whether it was Elizabeth, God sent a word to both of them. And Mary was just a teenage girl, but God sent and gave her a huge assignment that she would carry the Savior of the world. And my question is, isn't that the same assignment that he's given us today? That we all have the assignment of carrying Jesus in this dark world, carrying Jesus in these crazy times. And it was not an easy assignment by any means. She was a teenage girl. And remember, at that time, if you were pregnant before marriage, you were stoned to death, and your parents were dragged out as well and stoned. So she knew it was a risky thing. And she also knew that her life depended on the next few decisions that she would make. And so she said, "How can this thing be? Because I'm even a virgin. I haven't slept with any man. I don't know any man. So how is this going to happen?" And for some of us, it's not even about the sex. It's about, who do I know? What connections do I have? How can I carry this assignment and enter into the world and do everything that God has called me to do when I don't know any man? And he said, this time it will be different. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you. Listen, once you have a relationship with God, God doesn't just send you on the assignment. He sends his Spirit with you as well. So I know that everything that God has placed in your heart, you are still going to achieve it, because the Holy Spirit will give you the power to do it. Now, interestingly, even though all this is interesting, this isn't where I'm going with this. The most important thing for me in that scripture was when the Spirit of God had told her all the amazing things he was going to do. She said something. She said, "I'm simply the servant of God. Be it unto me according to your word." Tell your neighbor, "Be it unto me according to your word." No, I need you to say it like you mean it. Say, "Be it unto me according to your word." Listen, when God brings you a word, what you need to do is receive it with all of your heart. And that's what Mary did. She didn't think about all the challenges that were going to come. And challenges would come, because she was engaged to be married. And of course, those challenges did come. But it was the word of God that she held on to, that this word must come to pass. I must bring forth this son. I must bring forth this savior. I must make a difference in my world. Irrespective of the challenges, she said, let this word be unto me according to your word. And that's where I want us to start from today. Let your heart be in the right place. That every instruction of God, every word that God brings to you, everything that you will hear as I speak to you today, your heart must be willing and ready to accept it. Bible says that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. There's a good of the land. There's a promise for where you are in Chicago. There's a promise. God says you will eat the good of the land if you are willing and you're obedient. To what? To the word of God. Once God gives you a word, if you are willing, if you accept it willingly, and you choose to be obedient like her, she said, I'm just a servant. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. It's what you desire that I will do. She said, so let these words you have spoken, let them come to pass in my life. And that's what you need to say today. Let these words come to pass in my life. I need you to say it louder. Let these words come to pass in my life. Now let's jump to John 15, verse 7. And I want to read to you the New Living Translation. This is Jesus speaking. By this time, Jesus was already born. And Jesus was speaking here. Jesus said, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. It says you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Wow, what a promise. And sometimes when Jesus makes those loud, really bold statements, I wonder, how can you just promise us that if we remain in your word? That's the key. Let me tell you, I don't care where you live in this world. I don't care what the challenges are. And listen, challenges will come. You don't even need to pray about them. There are two things I know will always come into your life, whether you pray or not. Challenges will come, opportunities will come. All you have to do is be ready for them. Listen, Jesus said, no matter where you are, no matter what you are doing, the key to success, the key to having everything that you want is to abide in his word and let the words abide in you. Now, I didn't use the word abide because some people may not understand it, but I don't think you can ignore the word remain. Remain means to stay stable. Just remain. He says, remain in me and let my words remain in you. So it's not enough to be born again. It's not even enough to just be a Christian. You need to have God's word in you. It has to stay in you. And there's only one way to get the word inside of you, and that is to study the word. You have to stay in the word, guys. There's no way around it. Forget all the drama, forget all the pizzazz, forget all the noise out there. The truth is, if you stay in God's word, and God's word stays in you, you will ask for anything you need and it will be granted. How do I know this? I know this because, you know, when I pray to God, I don't just pray empty prayers. I have confidence from the promises that he has given me. And we have believable references. We have people who God has promised things and they've come to pass. That's one of the reasons why he says, if you stay in me, stay in my word, you will see people who God has promised things and they came to pass. And that is the believable reference that you need to keep moving. You may not know anybody around you, but if you go back to the word, that's one of the things I love about God. The fact that he knew that a time would come where you will need that encouragement. He decided, oh, Abraham waited for a child. He said, write it down because one day Mildred would need it. The woman with the issue of blood needed a miracle and she got it by faith. Write it down, one day Mildred will need it. Listen, you may be having issues with your in-laws, having issues with your brothers, having whatever it is. Look at Joseph. God knew that you would need to forgive someone. He said, write it down. So if you stay in the word, the secret to success in life is right there in front of you. You don't need to do anything extra. Just take the word for what it is. The Bible says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask for anything. So my confidence when I pray is that if I pray according to his will, and his will is his word, that he will hear me. And if he hears me, then I'm sure that we'll have what I have requested from him. So if you stay in the word, you'll find out what God's will is, because his will is in his word. And you know, many years ago, and I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but many years ago, one of the things God said to me, and it has become a mantra for my life. He said to me, if you can find it in the word, you can have it in your world. If you can find it in the word of God, I guarantee you, you can take this to the bank. 100% of the time it works. If you can find it in the Word of God, you hold on to it, believe it, it will come to pass. And I know a lot of us want to be emotional about things. Why is God not answering me? Why is it not happening for me? Listen, if you can find it in the Word of God, there your answer is. God has answered you. So I'm looking for a generation of women in these days who will go back to the Word, who will not run around looking for solutions from other people, but will go back to their Father. What does the Word say? That should be the question for your life. What does the Word say? I know there are a lot of arguments out there. I know a lot of social media pastors. I know a lot of people out there who are using logic to run things. But listen, you must go back to the Word and you must be fully persuaded about what the Word of God says. And the challenge we have today is a lot of people are not ready to stay in the Word. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. You need to be a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth so that you know what is right and what is wrong. You will not be tossed around by every doctrine that comes. The only way to know is if you stay in the Word. Not in the world, in the Word. Stay in the Word. If you're going to be a woman of the Word, you have to take time and study the Word. There's no shortcut, I guarantee you, no shortcuts. I know sometimes we want to think that, oh, if I just listen to enough. Listen, you must put your head in the Bible and you must study it for yourself. You must use scripture to interpret scripture. What does the Bible say here? What does the Bible say here? What does the Bible mean here? Go back, look at different study guides and understand it for yourself. Don't just run with secondhand knowledge. You see, it's so sad for me because these days, a lot of people don't even know what the Bible says. Yeah, they may know what their pastor says. They may even know what their friends say. They may even know what their parents say. But they've never really gone into the Bible to see what God Himself said. You must study the Word. There are no shortcuts. Let me tell you some of the benefits of studying the Word of God. Let's go to Genesis 1. And I'll show you something there. I mean, these are scriptures that you probably heard a million times. But I want you to look at them over and over again. Genesis chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Simple, nothing added. It says, God created the heavens and the earth. So we're not debating that. We all know that God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3, it says, then God said. Hallelujah. He says, then God said. What did God say? His word. God said His word. He said, let there be light. And the Bible tells us immediately there was light. If you speak God's word, if you stay in God's word, whatever you ask will be granted. And you must understand that the word of God in your mouth is just as powerful as it is in God's mouth. He says everything did not make sense. And maybe you are there, your life doesn't make sense. Maybe things are just not working. It's not working in your office, not working in your marriage, not working in your family. Everything seems to be a mess. Even your health, it looks like there's no way out. It seems like everything is dark, without form. And he says, then God said. He didn't say God cried. Let me let that sink in. Ladies, he did not say, then God cried. He said, then God said. What are you doing when faced with dark situations? What are you doing when faced with challenges? He said, then God said. Not God cried. God said. Open your mouth and speak God's word. And the only way you can speak God's word is if God's word abides in you. God's word has to be in for you to be able to bring it out. He says, then God said. One of the things the word of God will do for you is it will create your world. Anything you want can be created with the word of God. Let's jump to John chapter 1, and I want to read something to you there. I love the way the Bible, you need to read the Bible. Even if you don't get anything from what I'm saying today, read the Bible. You'll be fine. I love the way the Bible will show us something in the Old Testament and then bring us back to the New Testament and show us the same thing, but in a clearer light. So, you know, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. And it tells us that the world was without form, it was without void, and everything was dark and all of that. And it says, then God said. And so look at this. John chapter 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. It starts from something. The Word. Everything started with the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Because it didn't tell us that God cried. It didn't tell us God now wrote a plan. It said, God said. So it started with the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Hallelujah. That is a good place right there to just shout praise the Lord, somebody. He says, all things were made through him. And this word, if you read that, the Bible tells us that that word is Jesus. And they also called him the light. So when God said, let there be light, it was Jesus that came forth. Ah, hallelujah. He said, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. This is a prototype of how you can create anything. God is saying, if you use my word, you can create your world. Hallelujah. So I know doctors have given you their own reports, but if you want to have a world that you desire, the one you choose for yourself, you can create it through the word. Don't go outside the word. He says, just use the word, because all things were made through the word. And without the word was nothing made that was made. Oh, hallelujah. These are the kind of things that excite me. Knowing that I have the same power that my Father has. God spoke so I can speak. God said so I can say. God's word in his mouth still has the same power in my mouth. Hallelujah. So God's word can create. Another benefit of the word is that it can make you wise. And you see, for women, wisdom is not an option. Listen, the Bible says that a wise woman builds her home and a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. Where will you get wisdom? They say you should build your home with wisdom. Where will you get the wisdom? Look at it here, 2 Timothy 3:15. It says, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. The word of God makes wise. So sometimes when you're faced with a challenge, the Spirit of God will just bring a word up from inside you and remind you that you read this word. This is it. Your husband is shouting, he said, don't shout back, because a soft answer turns away wrath. That's wisdom right there. That's wisdom. Oh, the word of God is able to make you wise. And let me tell you, we face with challenges in this life that only wisdom can get you out of. And it takes the word of God to bring that wisdom out. That same word can make alive. Let's jump to John 6:63, the Message translation. Now, this scripture I've read it a lot of times, where Jesus was talking about the fact that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Ah! If you read that scripture, meditate on it long enough, something inside you will come alive. It says, these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But you see, I started a journey a couple of years ago when I first got married. As I first got married, like I've gotten married twice. When I got married, doctors had told me, and I'm going to save you that story, but doctors had told me that I'd never be able to have children, at least not naturally, because I had been diagnosed with PCOS and then some uterine bleed and a lot of other things that I don't want to bore you with. And so doctors had told me that I'd never be able to have a child. And so I started studying the word. See, let me tell you, if you can see it, just open your Bible. If you can see it, that God promised you this thing, take it. Just go and rest. And so I started studying the word, and all of a sudden, I saw this scripture. I bumped into this scripture. And I'd read it in many other versions before, but I'd never read it in the Message translation. And so I saw this scripture, and Jesus was speaking. Jesus said, the Spirit can make life. Ah, that thing just came alive inside me. I started paying attention. It says, the Spirit can make life. It says, sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Says, every word I have spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it is life making. Ah, when I saw this scripture, I looked again. Tell your neighbor, look again. There are some scriptures that you read that you can't just stand up and be going. Like, have you read your Bible today? Yes, I read my Bible. What did you read? John 6:63. No. It's not that kind of thing. You will look again. Tell your neighbor, look again. And I'll read it to you again. It says, the Spirit can make life. Let that sink in. The Spirit of God can make life. You are looking for a child. What is a child? Life. He says, the Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. I know you've been having sex 24 times a day. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Let me set you free. You don't have to have sex 24 times to have a baby. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. See the solution. It says, every word I have spoken to you is a spirit word, and it is life-making. It makes life. When I saw it, I said, so it is the word that gets pregnant. How many times did Mary sleep with somebody to have Jesus? Zero. It was the word, the spirit word, that made the life of Jesus inside of her. You need to understand, when you settle down with the word of God and you connect with it and something inside of you hits with the word of God, life will come out. Life. And so I knew that this was beyond medical science. This was beyond ovulation time, no ovulation time. This was beyond having sex or not having sex. This was beyond sheer muscle and willpower. It was the word of God, the spirit word of God, that would bring life. Today I have three children. Three children. Yes, yeah, a good time to praise God, because God's word can never return to him void. He must accomplish the thing that he has sent it to do. He must prosper in the assignment that he sent it. Listen, if you don't understand that scripture, you will never get the things that you deserve. He says, my word cannot return to me void. God's word will return. What he's saying is that it must not come back to me empty-handed. When I send my word on assignment, it must produce. So you have been cheating yourself. If God has given you a word and you've not laid hold on it, it says the words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit words. God himself said, my words cannot return empty. They must do what I sent them to do. If I said heal, it must heal. If I said make rich, it must make rich. If I said make wise, it must make wise. If I said make strong, it must make strong. The word of God has power in itself. Power in itself. It can make you alive. You are tired, you don't have a dream anymore. Go back into the word. You're tired, you are depressed. Go back into the word. You don't have a child. Go back into the word. You don't have money. Go back into the word. It can make your life. Take it from someone who the word of God has transformed her life. The word of God is all I have. It's changed everything about me. And I'll share my story in a bit. But let me give you the final benefit of the word. Number four, it can change you. Oh, the word of God can change you. It can change you. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care how bad you think you are. I don't care how weak you think you are. The word of God is able to save your soul. It's able to change you. 2 Timothy 3:16, and I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, all scripture. Tell your neighbor, all scripture. You need to say it louder, say all scripture. You need to say it like you're alive, say all scripture. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I'm sure some of you have read this scripture over and over again. Maybe you read it in King James. Maybe you read it in Amplified. Maybe you read it in... Read it in a way you can understand. My husband and I always have that conversation. I'm like, I know you're a King James man, sir, but me, I don't understand some things that King James is saying. And the important thing for me is that I understand it so that I can do it. Because my love for Jesus is in the fact that I obey what he says. If I don't understand what he said, how will I do it? So some of you have been quoting this scripture in all versions. Listen, they say all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach you what is true. Do you want to know what is true? Go to the word. Don't go to social media. Go to the word. What is true is in the word. What is true is in the word. I don't care what the world says. What the word of God says is what is true. So don't say own your truth. There's only one truth. Jesus. He's the only truth. And the scripture will teach us. If you look at the scripture, you can see Jesus. He's the truth. And says that it will make us realize what is wrong in our lives. The scriptures are not to point, oh, this one is for my neighbor, Jessica. This is Jessica. The Bible is talking about Jessica right here. I'm going to send this scripture to Deborah. I think she needs to see this scripture. The word is first to help you realize what is wrong in your own life. You sit down with the scripture as a mirror. You look at it every day. You're saying, okay, what am I supposed to change, Lord? Oh, is this how I act? I'm not patient. Oh, I'm not kind. Oh, that means I don't have the love of God. Oh, the love of God says I'm not supposed to keep records of wrong. So I'm not supposed. You hold the word. It becomes a mirror. It shows you what is wrong in your own life. And it doesn't just make us realize what is wrong. It says it corrects us. Hallelujah. Don't you just love Jesus? Someone that will not just point your faults out to you, but will correct you when you're wrong. And not just that, he will teach us to do what is right. How can you not want to live with the word of God? What's the option? Stay in the word, guys. Stay in the word. Listen, I've said it before. If you can find it in the word of God, you can have it in your world. Now, the word of God has changed every... I'm not even talking about some parts of my life. You know, some people can say, oh, I'm just going to pick this area of my life. What has the word done for you? Say, starting king. Okay, I think it has helped me become a better Christian. No. The word of God literally is what's sustaining me as I'm standing here. Because he upholds everything by the word of his power. It's his word that is upholding everything right here. Let me tell you, you see, you will never really do exploits or great things if you haven't encountered God's word. It's not just about the prophecies and the things that people have said over you. Until you have encounters with God. And the easiest way to have encounters with God is to have encounters with his word. Because he's one and the same. They said the beginning was the word and the word was with God. And then they expanded it to say the word was God. So the word of God is God. So when people tell me things like, does God speak to us? Does God speak to every believer? I want to give you a Bible. Like, look, take. He speaks to all of us. He's spoken to all of us all through the years. He doesn't have a select few. As far as the Bible is accessible to you, God is speaking to you. So don't just make it seem like, oh, there's just one part of my life. See, the word of God is everything. Jesus was walking on water. The disciples were in a boat. And they were all there. And Peter saw this person. He said, Lord, this looks like Jesus. He said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out. And the minute he stepped out, the water became hard ground. And the Bible says he also walked on water. And as he was walking, the winds and the waves began to make... There was a huge storm around. Remember that. There was already a storm when they saw Jesus. And all of a sudden, he took his eyes off the word. Oh, Jesus is the word. He took his eyes off the word. There are some of you that are going through things and you've been doing well until you took your eyes off the word. Keep your eyes back on the word of God. Keep your eyes back on Jesus. They said he took his eyes off and he began to sink. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? Listen, the word of God is still true. Don't let circumstances or situations confuse you about that. The word of God is still true. So back to my story. So from the minute I gave my life to Christ, which was as a teenage girl, one of the things that I encountered was the word. The word became alive to me. I fell in love with the word of God. And I'm so grateful I've never recovered from it. Now, I struggled at the beginning because back then, all I knew was King James or Revised Standard Version. And I can't lie to you. It just somehow just wouldn't fit into my brain. I tried. I would read my Bible because people said I should read my Bible. And then after a while, I started praying about it, and the Holy Spirit made it clear to me that there are other versions. And see, why do you want to kill yourself on King James? If you don't read King James, what will happen? And listen, I have no issues with any version of the Bible, but you must find one you understand. You must find one that you can apply. If you don't understand it, how do you do the word? How? We must get to that stage where we don't just read it as religion. It's a manual for your life. It's a manual. You have to understand the manual so you can know how your life will work. So I started reading Bible, started reading other versions, and I would understand something in Amplified, Classic. I would understand something else in NLT. Somehow Message Translation would just pop and come alive to me. The Passion Translation would just say something, and I'm like, wow, I never saw it like that. And these are scriptures I had been reading for years. And somehow I started to read them, and I started to understand them, and I started to think on them. I started to meditate on them, and I started seeing change. Now, listen, when I was younger, I used to be very hot-tempered. It comes with my personality, very hot-tempered. Because I'm a perfectionist, I like things done a certain way. And if it's not done that way, everything just is off-kilter. Like, it just bothers me. So I used to be very, very hot-tempered. And not in a silent... So I probably wouldn't be loud, but more volcanic in nature. So it would be erupting gently from under. It could take me 10 years to erupt, but when I do, I'm done, you know. And so I used to be very vocal about my anger. Not even that I'll be angry and just keep quiet and go and sulk in the corner. No, that wasn't me. I was violent. So if I'm angry, I can break your head with a bottle. I was that kind of person. I'm very angry. And when I'm angry, I don't see. And you see, when they say blind with fury, it is not just an English adage or idiom or what they call it. No, it's not just an English saying that you are blind with fury. It's actually a reality. I remember one day, I don't know how much of my stories I should share really, because if I do, I'm not sure if you invite me back. I remember one day I was so upset, one of my tailors, and I don't know about the rest of you and where you live in Chicago, but in Nigeria, tailors are let me just say they didn't day. Tailors are not among. If you don't know what the meaning of they didn't day is, ask your neighbor, or it just simply means they did not day. Okay? That's best I can do for you guys. So, this is my tailor. I gave him my dress fabric to make something for me. And I went back to school. I was in uni. I was in Obafemi Awolowo University at the time, Ife. And so I went back to school. This is 3 months. I came back after 3 months. Uncle, where's my cloth? I will never forget his name. Uncle Yemi. Uncle Yemi, where's my cloth? Yemi say, Auntie, I finished this cloth since now. I'm coming. Now let him go and bring. Gave somebody to do zip. Since 3 months, he has not collected his coming. Uncle Yemi left me in his shop. Almost 2 hours. I came to market to buy something. Uncle Yemi left me in his shop. I waited for him patiently. After a while, he came back strolling, probably assuming that I would have gone. I don't know whether that was his tactic. He came in, and he looked shocked. I went, okay, and he came in with the fabric. They've not drawn tailor's chalk, talk less of cutting it. And I'm not, I'm not joking. There was not even tailor's chalk. You know tailor's chalk that they would draw line that this is where I want to cut. Because back then they used to do pattern, pattern cuts. This one, they would just draw the chalk on your clothes and they would cut it. He had not done anything. Uncle had not cut anything. Talk less of sewing, talk less of zip. So this is 3 months worth of anger. It started to bubble. I say, Uncle Yemi, where's my clothes? He say, he thought he had sewn. Before Uncle Yemi finished, and I'm calling him Uncle so that you will know that it's Uncle. Before Uncle Yemi finished saying what he was saying, I've given him a dirty slap, pushed him out of the shop with his clothes, padlocked his shop, carried key, and I was going with my sister. My younger sister was with me. And she was begging me, I said, nothing did happen. And if he try me, I go beat him here. That's how, I'm trying to tell you how angry. And trust me, I was raised in the most ajabota environment. I was what they used to call omoget inside. Do you know omoget inside? People that they don't come outside. My parents did everything. I went to the best schools. I went to Corona. I went to all the best schools. So I'm not on the street. But when anger comes, and anger is a spirit. A lot of people don't understand it. Anger is a spirit. When anger comes, it gives you unusual strength. If you're hot tempered, tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. When you are not angry, that thing you did that time, can you do it again? No, you're laughing now, but tell yourself the truth. Can you do it again? No. So I gave Oguyemi hot slap, padlocked his shop, carried care, was going. This was in Yaba. I was going. The market women, they were, hey, that ain't good for him. This is how all these tailors used to behave. I mean, my mother was like, if this man start beating me, now all of you will turn your mouth to another side. But I was that angry. I went home with his key. I don't know how I opened the shop later, but I went home. And what I'm trying to say is, I used to battle serious anger issues. Like, if I'm angry, you can't stop me. If I'm angry, I'm not even seeing you. I'm not hearing you. You can't do anything. And I have unusual strength when I'm angry. But ever since I came across the scripture that says that anger rests in the bosom of fools. You see, like I said, the scripture will show you what's wrong in your life. If you are honest with yourself, and that's one of the things that God has blessed me with, the ability to consistently be honest with myself. Like, I don't lie to myself. If you can be honest with yourself and you see yourself in the Word, you can change. And so I saw that God considered me a fool. He said, anger rests in the bosom of fools. So, as I am like this, and it's everything I have going for me, Lord, you think I'm a fool? I say, if God thinks you're a fool, that's a big problem. Don't you guys think so? A huge problem. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take steps. I'm going to take steps. Ecclesiastes 7:9, it says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosoms of fools. So I started calming down. You know, you tell everybody calming down. Yeah, exactly. So I started calming down. Like, before I take that move, before I make that move, before I take that action, is it a foolish action? It's only foolish people that react without really thinking about what their next steps are. I've almost killed somebody because of malt. You know malt. I don't want to share that story because, like I said, if I share it, people will not call me back. I should share it. I will share it. So my grandmom passed. And I don't know where you all come from. Where you all come from, I don't know. But the village where I come from, there was no light that time. So everybody, generator. And so back then, went to bury her and everything. So everybody, after the burial, everybody was just sitting around. And you know, when you have parties, there are some things that will always be missing. So I went to hide one can of malt I saw somewhere. Somehow, God just opened my eyes by revelation. I saw one can of malt. I carried the can of malt. And I went to the deep freezer in my auntie's house. I went under, lifted all the meat and everything there and shook my malt inside there. So I came back after everything to look for my malt. With, you know, there's a confidence you have where you are the only one that has cold drink in the entire village. So I bounced in. Everybody's thirsty, I have cold drink. I opened the freezer, shook my hand here, I had not seen my malt. Shook my hand here, I had not seen my malt. Shook my hand here, I had not seen my malt. After a while, I now decided that it's as if somebody has taken this malt. Revelation came to me. So I went outside. I said, please, who took my malt? To my brother and his friends were sitting around. And I saw somebody holding malt. And I know that I'm the only one that has malt left in this village. So I said, uncle, this malt that you are holding, is it my malt? He ignored me. I said, uncle, this malt that you are holding looks like my malt. Is it my malt? He said, is it because of this malt you're talking to me anyhow? He opened it and he poured it on the floor. Shape will see that I'm justified. When the spirit of anger, this guy, if I show you this guy, you will not believe it. Too. Almost two times taller than me. When I lifted him and landed him on the car, my brothers were trying to separate me. They couldn't get, all I could hear was kill him because of malt. Do you understand how people can go to jail because of malt? So now, be in prison now because of malt. How much is malt, please? How much is a can of malt that I want to kill somebody for? So when I say, you see, it's a fool that makes decisions without thinking. As I was pressing the Adam's apple, because he just pressed it, he would die. And I was like, I don't care if he dies. Because of what? Malt. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. Once I saw that, I started meditating on scriptures about anger and how to deal with it. You see, today, a lot of things that happen, I just let it go. I don't even raise my voice. I have been married for 17 years now. I have never raised my voice at my husband. I have never, not once. I have never attacked him verbally or physically. Yes, that's a good place to clap for me right there. And that's what the Word of God can do for you. The Word can change you. See, the Word can touch any area. Is it finances? When I met my husband, we didn't have so much money. We didn't have, what am I saying? So much money is putting in mildly. We didn't have money. But it was just an encounter with the Word of God. And it's a simple scripture. Like I said, it doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes we try to be so deep that we now lose ourselves. We are so deep, they now not find you anymore. Simple scripture. Luke 6:38, a scripture we even sing about it. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. It says, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And something just came alive in that scripture. My husband said, Why do we take out the most important part? The latter part of that scripture says the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. So if you give him hundreds, you will receive in hundreds. If you give in thousands, you receive in thousands. If you give in millions, you will receive in millions. And so we started putting together a seed, our first 1 million. I'll never forget. We gave it as 1,010,000. So that bank charges will not eat into it. My husband was determined. We sold anything that needed selling. We saved, we put together everything until we gave our first 1 million. And since that day, we broke the back of poverty. From that day till today, what happened? We had an encounter with the Word. Listen, when you encounter the Word of God, your life can never remain the same. Someone doesn't have to convince you about tithing or not tithing. When you encounter the Word of God, it changes your life. The minute we became consistent with our tithing, listen, something happened. The heavens were open over us. We began to see opportunities. Not that money was thrown down from heaven. And we moved from a place of, oh, I'm tithing because it's what I'm supposed to do, to a place of, I love and I honor God. And God is teaching me discipline. I'm giving him 10% of everything I own because he owns my life anyway. He owns the 100, but I'm willing to give him 10. Without compulsion, without threat, without me thinking, oh, if I don't give him something bad will happen. No. From a place of revelation. Once there's revelation light, your life changes. How was I redeemed from infertility? Doctors had told me it would never happen. I went from doctor to doctor. Trust me, I went that journey. I went from doctor to doctor. In fact, there's one particular thing that changed my life. because God had told me to stay in the Word. I started seeing promises because I had to go to the Word. At some point, I was running from doctor to doctor thinking my solution was there. And then I went to, so many stories, but let me give you just this one that really was a turning point for me. So I went to see a friend of mine who took me to a doctor and said, oh, this doctor, he's even a Christian, he can help you and all of that. He will stand in faith with you and he will help you. So I went to the doctor. The doctor said, oh, okay, we'll run your test, but we need your husband to come. And so I said to him, I know my husband, he's not going to come. Not because he doesn't want to, but he just is those kind of people that just move when the Spirit of God moves. You know those kind of people, exactly. So I knew he wasn't going to do anything out of the flesh or out of compulsion. That, oh, we're looking for children, come and bring them. My husband is never, never going to do that. He was very clear when we met. I told him, doctor said I'll never have a child. He said it's not possible because God's word said none shall be barren in the land. And that settles it. He said, in fact, we're going to name our children David and Davida. And that settled it for him. But of course, pressure here and there, they're running around going to hospital and all that. And also because I had heard it consistently and it had become a fear. And you see, the Bible says that the thing you fear the most, like Job said, the thing I feared the most came upon me. And that's really what happened with me. And so I went to this, my friend, when we had the doctor said, bring your husband. I went to my husband and I said, doctor said you should come. He said, oh, for what? I said, for test. He said, oh, I've been tested. I said, you really, really serious? Where did you do your test? And I said, oh, I've been tested by the Word, purified 7 times. I said, this man, you know, kill me. And I said, no. If you want to go and do any test, you do. But me, I've been tested by the Word of God. And I know that the Word of God is true. And he walked away. Halfway towards leaving the room, he turns around, looks me straight in the eye. And he just said with so much conviction, Abraham's body now dead brought forth Isaac. He now said, is my body dead? I said, no. He said, you will have your children. And he walked away. So I went back to the doctor. I said, doctor, let's stop running around what is not willing to be chased. Me, you know our problem. Let's see what we can do to help me. So the man said, okay, come back on the 14th day. Let's try and create a cycle for you. And let's see if you're ovulating and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. So 2 days before that, I went to see the friend who took me there. I got there, met a woman there. We got chatting, you know how you meet people and somehow you just connect with them. We started gisting and all that. And then she said something about David So I think it was the name of her business. So I said, oh, that's the name of my children. She said, oh yeah, her children's name, David and Davida. I said, are you serious? Well, I'm coming to so sit into your life. She exchanged pleasantries and then I was going. So I was leaving, my friend walked me to the car. As I got to the car, my friend said, do you know that woman? I said, no. I don't know him. You say, you don't know that woman? I said, I don't know him now. I won't know him. Don't be angry. This is how it happened. That one speaking in Pidgin. I can actually speak in American English, but it's not going to work. So listen to how it happened. So she said, you don't know that woman? I said, I don't know him. She said, how are you going to say you don't know that? I said, I don't know him now. Who she be? She said, that's not your doctor wife. I said, you serious? Yeah, my doctor is David and Davida. Oh my God. She said, with David and Davida. She didn't find Pidgin, her faith, she didn't talk. Exactly. That's how I felt. I was like, what? So I got into my car and I just started crying. The Holy Spirit said to me, why won't you let me help you? Why are you going to run around to people who are looking for the exact same thing you're looking for? What are the odds? Why is he not looking for Joseph and Josephina or Samuel and Samuela? Why is he looking for David and Davida? The exact same thing you're looking for. He said, why won't you let me help you? Let me help you. And God gave me some scriptures that changed my life. Isaiah 30 verse 15 gave me two scriptures. So I'll read this one first. And gave it to me in the Message translation. He said, God, the Master, the Holy of Israel, has this solemn counsel. Says, your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourself. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. And then the second scripture, Isaiah 8:19, same Message translation. It says, when people tell you, try out the fortune tellers, consult the spiritualists. Why not tap into the spirit world? Get in touch with the dead. I mean, this was the way they used to operate back in the day. But for us now, it's like, go to the doctors, do this. Verse 20. And says, tell them, no, we're going to study the scriptures. People who try the other ways get nowhere, a dead end. Can you imagine? People who try other ways get nowhere. So I knew God wanted me to stay and study the scriptures. And so I started my journey of being a student of the word. I sat down, brought out my husband's Dick's Bible, brought out his concordance. It's not like now that we have Google. Google is your friend. No, Google was not my friend back then. There was nothing like that for me. I sat down, brought out every single book I could find on infertility. And then I started writing out every single scripture that I could find that related to having babies, that related to pregnancy, delivery, miscarriage, every single thing, twins, triplets. I did studies on the scripture. You'll be amazed at the treasures that you will find in the word if you just study it. And so I sat in the word. And then I started confessing the word. The Bible says that it is like medicine to all your flesh, every part of you. So whether it is your womb that needs healing, it is medicine. If it's your nerves, it's medicine. If it's your blood pressure, it's medicine. If it's diabetes, it's medicine. If it's your mind, it's medicine. If it's your circulatory system, it's medicine. If it's your digestive system, it's medicine. So the same way you will go to a doctor and doctor will say, take this tablet 1-3 times a day, was how I started taking the word. I would confess the word morning, afternoon, night. I stayed in the word, consistently confessing it. I would like to tell you it happened in 1 year. I would like to say it happened in 2, maybe even in 3 or 4. It did not. After 5 years of consistently, now this was an 8-year journey, but it took me 5 years of consistently confessing the word, meditating on it. And every time I would bleed, because I was literally the woman with the issue of blood, every time I would bleed, I would say to my body, blood or no blood, the word of God is true. Blood or no blood, I am pregnant. Irrespective of how my body feels, irrespective of what I'm seeing, there are 2 nations in my womb. 2 people will be separated from my body. I would say with so much conviction, because the word of God in my mouth is just as powerful as the word of God in God's mouth. I spoke these scriptures to reality. That I am not barren. I'm a fruitful vine in the heart of my husband's house. My children like olive plants surround my table. I am not barren. My children surround my table. I am not barren. I am a fruitful vine. Vines don't bear one fruit. They bear multiple fruits. One child does not surround a table. I have more than one child. I was confessing the scriptures every day. You'd wake me up and I would tell you there are 2 nations in my womb. 2 people will be separated from my body. One will be physically stronger than the other. That's how I know I'm having 1 boy and 1 girl. I knew like I knew my name. I confessed the scriptures for so long. And when I finally got pregnant, one day I just discovered I was pregnant. I don't want to take you through all of that journey. Found out I was pregnant. Got to the hospital. One overzealous nurse gave me some drugs and I started bleeding. And they told me it was threatening miscarriage. And then the matron at the hospital said to me, madam, you can't move. You have to be on bed rest. You can't come down. Even if you want to use yourself, they have to bring a bedpan. She was just talking. And I was just staring into space because I was remembering the word. I was remembering the word that if you serve the Lord your God, he will bless your bread and water. He will remove sickness from your midst. You cannot have a miscarriage. You are not barren. He says, I will fulfill the number of your days. I was remembering the scriptures. They were coming at me back to back. As the woman was speaking, I was hearing God instead. And the woman said to me, Madam, are you okay? I turned to her. I said, Madam, with all due respect, are you okay? I said, if you know what I'm carrying, 8 years worth of the word of God. I said, baby, why don't dedicate? Madam, move on. If you're going to give me injection, let me be going home. I'm not coming back here. I dedicated this child. You don't understand. The word of God is settled. Hey, what the Lord does is forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be removed. See, whatever is the thing. See, I always tell people the source of a thing is the sustenance. If you got your miracle by the word will sustain it. If you got married by the word will sustain it. If you got pregnant by the word will sustain it. If you got that job by the word will sustain it. The word of God works 100% of the time. Don't add anything, don't take anything. The word of God, pure, unadulterated, it will bring you your victory. And so I'm telling you from a point of deep revelation, the word of God can change everything in your life. My relationship with my mother-in-law. When I first got married, my mother-in-law didn't like me. And to be honest, and to be very fair to her, I don't think I did my very best at convincing her to like me. I mean, I just felt what's not to like about me. But that's story for another day. So anyhow, we didn't start off on a great foot, you know. So along the line, she was not very friendly and I didn't care. I had the, you know, like me, you know, like you now. What's it concerning me? I beg, I'm not in the mood, you know. And I'm being very sincere with you. I wasn't giving her attitude or anything, but I wasn't just trying, you know. She would complain about something and I'll just move on with my life. Like, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. I've done my best. I can't come and give me my mother. You know, I just had that attitude without actually saying anything. And then one day, the Holy Spirit just said to me, I was studying the word, and the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? I was like, what am I doing? How? He said, what are you doing? What exactly do you think you're doing? I'm like, what am I doing? He said, if you know what's good for you, you go back to the word and find out how people treat their mothers-in-law. So I went to study Ruth and Naomi. Oh my God, changed my life. I'm telling you, see, anything you're looking for is in the word of God. Anything you're looking for. Today, my mother-in-law and I have a great relationship. But it wasn't always so from the beginning. What changed? The word changed me. I didn't say the word to change her. Not change, nothing. See, that's between her and God. The word of God will change you. Go to the word. It will change you. It will change you. It will change your life. It will change your situation. It will change your circumstance. The word of God has power in itself. Don't add anything to it. Don't add anything to it. I'm telling you, the word of God will change your life. So today I want to encourage you. And I know that there are women of the word in this audience today that I'm speaking to. I want you to rise to your feet and let's just pray for a few minutes. Let me tell you, see, there's something about God opening your eyes to his word. Sometimes people read the word and read it over and over again, but it doesn't make a difference to them because they haven't encountered the word. There's something about intercourse with the word. When you encounter the word, you can never remain the same. And I know you came here today so that your life will not remain the same. I don't know what situation you're going through. I don't know what challenge you're going through. Let me tell you, the word of God can change you. So let's rise our feet. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. I want you to begin to meditate on that thing and begin to think on the scriptures or promises God has given you. I know some of you, God has promised you certain things concerning that situation before, but somehow, like Peter, you've taken your eyes off the word. You've taken your eyes off Jesus and you are beginning to sink. And the thing Peter did was that he cried out for the word again. He said, help me. So today you're going to say, Lord, help me. Show me the word again. Open my eyes. Let there be a spirit of revelation and light. Let me understand your word. Open your mouth and begin to pray for yourself. Malikedusha. Cry out to God today. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the word of God becomes alive to me again. Ah, Malibradosha, that every word you've spoken to me, there will be spirit words and there will be life making. They will make my life what you want it to be today. Ah, Makaya Lebosha Tali Abrahandegede. I know that there are women of prayer. A woman of the word is a woman of prayer. Stand on your feet and begin to pray. declare over your life. If it is in your finances, declare God's word. If it is your health, declare God's word. By his stripes you were healed. The word of God is settled forever. He says, by his stripes you were healed. If you were healed, you are healed. If you were healed, you remain healed. Open your mouth and begin to declare the word. Declare that he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. You will not be stranded. Declare that none are barren in this land, whether male or female. So if the problem is from your husband or your wife, it is irrelevant. God's word says none. None is none. Take what is yours in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you all of the praise for your word. You say in the beginning was the word. And we still have the word today. We are grateful. Lord, we declare over our lives that every word you have spoken over us will come to pass in the name of Jesus. We declare like Mary that we are simply your handmaidens. Let it be unto us according to your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this would be a great time to really praise the Lord, somebody.